God for his presence. Thank God for his anointing. Giving our honor to him, our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ, and to the pastors and these preachers, and to all of the officers, and members, and visitors of the household of faith. We just thank God for this particular moment at this particular day that we are clothed in our right mind. Now, God, in the name of Jesus, as we decrease, we pray for your increase. We pray, God, that you would just have your own way. We ask you in Jesus' name, oh God, that you would touch right now, deliver right now, God. Consecrate us right now. In Jesus' precious name. And we all say, amen. The Gospel of Mark, chapter 9, verse 23. The Gospel of Mark, chapter 9, verse 23. You don't mind, read with me. And amen. You may be seated in the house of the Lord. The possibility of a impossible situation. I think that all of us would agree with us today that all of us have been faced with some type of impossible situations. And whenever you're faced with impossible situations, it can depress you and cause some to be oppressed. When you're down in the valley, looking at life, that seems like life is against you, and you see that there's no rope in the valley, there's no ladder to climb out of the valley. No steps. And not even someone there with a helping hand. It looks impossible to get out of something that you're deep down in. Looking up from a low point in life with nobody there to help you get out, it seems like it's impossible. Not only does impossible things come our way, but just the look at things from the naked eye is even far more worse, because surely everyone in here know that you can look at some things that says in your heart that it's impossible for things to turn around now. Sometimes you can look at yourself and you're going to say, what did I do to cause myself to be in this impossible situation? Imagine driving on the highway 20 minutes to get to work on time. And there your car stops. It seems like it's impossible to get to work on time. And not only that, but in life itself, Sometimes we get up in age and we say that we've always had dreams and visions. But because I've never reached them, I've never grabbed them, and I'm up in age now, it's impossible for me to have the things that I should have gotten when I was younger. Impossible, impossible. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Impossible situations. But I want to tell you that there is a possibility that just maybe, turn to your neighbor and say, just maybe. There's a possibility that the impossible things in your life can turn around. Oh, God, help me. I wish I had some help right there. Just maybe. This impossible thing that has gotten me down, that has my mind twisted, that I don't see no way out. There's a possibility. Why don't you sit down and talk to somebody that can really help you? God, help me, somebody. Now watch this. You got to be careful who you talk to now. Because in this impossible situation, there's a possibility that you can handle this situation, get out of this situation, and end up on top of everything. God, help me, somebody. I don't know what you're talking about, baby, but I want you to know something, that there's a possibility that as the Bible says, that I'm the head and not the tail. God, help me, somebody. If I can just find someone that can say, no, wait a minute, it is impossible, but according to the word of God, there's a possibility that I don't have to be stagnated and stuck being the tail when it's in the word of God that says I can be the head. Anybody want to get to the head? Anybody want to be on top in it? Anybody want to conquer something? God, help me, somebody. The devil has said that you can't be a conqueror. The devil said you can't do it because of your age. The devil said you can't do it because of your wounds. The devil said you can't do it because of your agenda. But I want you to know there is a possibility. God, help me, somebody, that the impossible could be very well my stepping stone to get to the possibility that may enable me to come out of the impossible. God, I like that myself. Can I get a witness here? I look at the text here in Mark, and Mark, the writer of this gospel here, Mark, he's not like the other gospels. He's not like Matthew, Luke, or John. When I think about it, that Mark here, when he talks about Jesus Christ, Mark talks about him as a servant of God. Mark also betrays Jesus Christ as one who moves quickly. The Gospel of Mark, he gets in the beginning of Mark and he begins with the actual gospel, the message that God came from God with. He gets in the work that Jesus Christ came to do. He quickly moves according to the will of God concerning this gospel. Mark says that Christ gets in it and goes straight to preaching, healing, ministering to the needs of the people. The Gospel of Mark is the shortest book of all of the Gospels. Matthew have 28 chapters. Luke have 24 chapters. John have 21 chapters. But the Gospel of Mark have 16 chapters. Mark gets in the text and Mark goes on and he talks about the works of Christ. He talks about the death of Christ. He talks about the resurrection of Christ. He talks about the great commission that Christ gave. And then he talks about that Christ went to heaven, sat on the right side of God, and then he sat within the spirit of the one to carry out the great commission. So Mark gets in the word of God, and he talks about how good God is. Oh, God, help me, somebody. Mark wants us to understand something here, that in this word this morning, that Mark says that Jesus Christ starts with the preaching of the gospel. He gets in the word of God. He begins to preach. And after he preaches the word of God, the Bible says he talks about John the Baptist. And after John the Baptist, Jesus Christ gets baptized. And after he gets baptized, he goes and begins to call his disciples. He calls Simon and Andrew and James and John. He continues to call them. He goes straight in the synagogue and begins to deliver the word of God. Not only does he does that, but also he goes in and he's faced with those of demonic spirit, those that are sick. He immediately takes authority when he comes in a place. God, help me, somebody. I want to look at this text here. I want to look at this text when I look at the different types of gospels, because there are a lot of gospels in the world today. There are Buddhists. They are gospel. They are folk that believe in the gospel of worshiping God of sons and gods of rats. But this gospel that Mark is talking about, he's talking about the gospel of the living God. This gospel here, when Christ talks about it, when Mark begins to teach us this morning concerning what Christ did with the gospel, he talks about this is the only gospel with authority. He said that any other person that comes with a different doctrine or gospel, it has no power. He said you can read any book you want to read, but if it's not the gospel, it can't do nothing for you. God help you. It'll help your mind have imagination. But this gospel that Mark is talking to us about is the gospel that would give you power when you weep. Oh, help me, somebody. I want to go to Mark. I want to go to Mark. And I want to look at Mark chapter 1. And I was reading this thing about the gospel of Mark chapter 1, verse 21. I looked at it. And watch what it says concerning Jesus Christ. Mark chapter 1, verse 21 says, "And they went into Capernaum, and straightway on the Sabbath day, he entered into the synagogue and taught." That's what Christ did. That's what Christ did. Say somebody, say to your neighbor, "I didn't come to church for foolishness." God help me. He said he went straight in the synagogue and taught the word of God. Help me, somebody. Don't pass no notes. Don't ask nobody for nothing. You didn't come here with all this foolishness. You came here to get a word from the Lord. God help me, somebody. Now if you buy somebody that don't want to move, I suggest you take a moment and switch seats, baby, because you came to get yours. You didn't come here for no foolishness. You didn't come here for no mess. You came to get a word. God help me, somebody. And that's what he did. Now watch this. Verse 22 say, And they were astonished at his doctrine, for he taught them as one that had authority and not as the scribes. Oh, y'all don't hear me. Watch it. I don't care how much education you have. I don't care about your diploma, your degrees. Help me, somebody. If you don't have this doctrine, you ain't hitting on nothing. Oh, come on, come on. Help me, somebody. Come on, come on, come on. Come on, come on. Can I add two things with that? Number one is that the Lord didn't bring me this far to leave me. God, help me, somebody. Can I get anybody to testify that where you are, you came from a mighty long way. And even though you are in the situation you in, it looks like it's impossible to get out of this situation. But God, help me, didn't bring me this far to leave me. Can I get a witness? Now watch this. Not only that didn't God, he didn't bring me this far to leave me, but when he gave me the gospel, he gave me authority. God, help me, somebody. That means here that as long as you got the gospel of Christ on the inside, you can speak to your situation and talk to yourself. Anybody ever talk to themselves? Anybody ever talk your way out of a situation? God, help me. And I'm not only talking about folk talking your way out of that, but I talk to myself and say, self, get out of your situation. Self, get your head together. Self, you can make it. Self, you are the head and not the tail. Self, don't you cry no more. Self, you better get up and stop acting like you don't have no power. You got some power with yourself. And so, when I look at this saying, I begin to look at it. That Mark here, he said that he taught with authority, not as the scribes. God, I hit on the scribes at the minute. And not only that, but I want you to understand something, that in this text, I read that Mark have 16 chapters, and in the 16 chapters, some of them, half of them, begin with "and." I know some of you know that that's it. You've been taught that in English that it's improper to start a paragraph or a sentence with "and." But Mark says that I believe that I can do that, because when I look at it, Mark starts some of his paragraph with "and," and I always puzzled why, but now God opened my eyes and showed me why. Because when you look at "and," the word "and" is a conjunction. Come on, help me, somebody. And what happens with the word and for the solution is a connection. It means that in order to have and comes after something, to have the conjunction to help you get to the connection part to understand what the purpose of "and" is. God, help somebody. Other words here, that is something before and it's something. God, help me, somebody. In other words, what Mark is trying to say is that God wants things to be connected in your life. God, help me. Can I go here for a little bit? Watch this. When I look at the text and I look at the saying here, when I look at Mark, Mark says "and" have a lot of things to do with the promises of God. Now watch this. When I look at the text, whenever there is a promise of God, before the promise, there are principles. Oh, help me, somebody. Watch this. Let's go somewhere. Let's go to 2 Chronicles with me. 2 Chronicles with me. Let's look at something right here. I want to go to chapter 7, verse 14. And I want to show you where I'm talking about, understanding that there's a promise, but before the promise, there's a principle. Watch this. 2 Chronicles, chapter 7, verse 14. Look what this says. Listen to me, if you don't mind. If my people... which are called by my name shall humble them. I'm talking about the principle right now. And pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways. Then will I hear from God. Watch this. And will forgive their sins and will heal their land. Right? Did y'all understand? The promises is that God will forgive you of your sin. And the promises that God will heal the land. But the principle is that if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from your wicked way. The principle is that you've got to seek his face. You've got to turn from your wicked way. But the promises, after you understand the principle, is the blessing. God, help me, somebody. Watch this. Romans 10, 8 through 10 says, if thou shalt confess, God, help me, with your mouth, the Lord Jesus, and shall believe in thy heart that God has raised them from the dead. Look at the promises. Thou shalt, God, help me, somebody, be saved. Can I get a witness here? Other words here that God gives promises. God promised to bless you. God promised to deliver you. God promised to bring you out of your situation. But there is a principle, is that you must be Christ-like. God, help me. The principle is that you must believe that he can. The principle is that you must walk in the life like a child of God, and the promises is what God will do. Watch this last one. God says is that he would open up the windows of heaven and pour out for you a blessing that there shall not be room enough to receive it. That's a promise. Help me, somebody. And I don't know about you, but I know about the promises of the Lord. Help me, somebody. But the principle is bring you tithes and offering in the storehouse that there may be meat in my house. That's what God said. And test me and prove me and see if I won't open up the windows of heaven for. There's the principle and the promise. Watch this here. When I go back to the text of Mark chapter 9, he begins to talk to me here in Mark chapter 9, is that when Jesus Christ came with his disciples, I want you to understand, he went up to a mountain. A scholar said that the mountain of transfiguration was better known as the mountain of Mount Tabor. The Bible also tells us here that when Jesus Christ went to the mountain, he did not take all of the disciples. He took Peter, James, and John. I want you to understand something here, is that when he took Peter, James, and John up in the mountain, the Bible says here, I'm dealing with a principle in actuality, the Bible says that on the mountain, there was a transfiguration that took place. Jesus Christ has now transfigured in his glorified body. There with Jesus Christ was Moses and Elias. Now, when I see Moses and Elias that has transfigured with Jesus Christ, Peter, James, and John is looking at them. Now, while they're looking at them, I want you to understand what the Lord was trying to show. He was trying to show them some principles before the promise. Help me, somebody. I looked at it and I wanted to know, Lord, why would you take Peter, James, and John? He took Peter and he took James and he took John up to the mountain of Tabor so that they can see what was going to happen, which is the promises of God. Help me, somebody. What he saw there, what they saw, is that a glorified transformation. He allowed them to see Moses and Elias with Christ. Watch this thing here. When I see that they was with Moses and Elias, Moses and Elias lived in two different times. Can I get a witness on that? When they lived in two different times, it lets me know that Jesus Christ in his glorified body was showing them is that after you leave from this place, God help me. He said, look, if you get me now while you here, he said, after a while, you will still be with me, but you will have a glorified body. God help me, somebody. He wanted them to understand is that Moses and Elias, it means that the first shall be last and the last shall be first. Watch this thing here. It helps us to understand this. One thing to understand that Christ was saying is that I've got to die in order that everybody that die with me will have a glorified body. There are folk today worried about their loved ones. But can I tell you something? The scripture here lets us know you don't have to worry about your loved ones that are already gone. God help me, somebody. He allowed Peter to know that just like Moses is with me on the other side, as long as you have King Jesus right now, one day you're going to be on the other side with me, but in a glorified body. Anybody have any loved ones going home with the Lord? Can I tell you that they're on the side in a glorified body? Watch this thing here. Elias also was with him, dying at two different times. We need to understand this one thing. It means here, as long as you're saved, as long as you accept him, as long as you have Jesus now, you'll never be without Jesus. Right? You can be with him now, and you can be with him on the other side. Watch this thing. Christ here in his transfigured body allowed him to see the glory of God. When it would come down from the mountain, the Bible says that the scribes and the other people was there with the other disciples. I want you to understand something here. When I look at the text, when Christ came down, number one here is that Christ had just came down from a mountain of transfiguration. So in other words, on his body, there was still a slight glow. What I want you to understand is that whenever you in the spirit of the Lord, whenever folks see you, there is a slight something different about you. Oh, y'all don't hear me, church. So, see, it's impossible to come to church and feel the anointing of God and go home and not have something different on you. Can I get a witness here? In fact, when I come to church, it helps me to get through a few days. Can I get a witness here? Yeah, because the devil is waiting on you when you come down from a high in the Lord. Can I get a witness here? The minute you go to praying, the minute you go to talking to the Lord, the minute you stop, the devil always try to show up. God, help me, somebody. But there ought to be a glow on you. How can you come to church one way and leave from here and not feeling something's wrong, church? How can you come to church and leave from here with hell in your heart? Something wrong, church. How can you come to church and leave from here with gossip in your mouth? Something's wrong, church. When you leave from church, there ought to be some type of different something about you. Watch this thing. The text says that when they came down from the mountain, the people was around the other disciples. When they were around the disciples, the Bible say the scribes were there. They were scholars of the law. They were teachers, and some was writers of the law. And while they were there, they really seemed like they were attacking the disciples. When Jesus Christ came, he said unto them, why question ye them? Can I tell you something? Christ knew really that they really didn't want to question the disciples. What they really wanted to do was question Jesus. God help me, somebody. So what happens is, when I look here in the text, I find here, why were they so willingly and eager to know things about Jesus? Can I tell you something? When I look at the text here, I see really that the reason why the scribes were so eager to want to test Christ is because they were really jealous of losing authority. God help me, somebody. Because you read in chapter 1 in Mark that he spoke with authority, not like the scribes. God help me. Other words, when the scribes talked, they didn't talk with an anointing. That's what it was. They didn't speak with no power. They didn't speak with no influence. Can I get a witness here? Look, whenever a preacher is preaching or teaching, there ought to be some type of anointing coming from him. God help me, somebody. If it ain't coming from him, it ought to be in his words when he read the scripture. You ought to feel something. God help me, somebody. And so the scribes, when they taught, they didn't teach with no power. Can I get a witness? But when Christ, they were jealous of Christ because he drew a crowd wherever he went. Help me, somebody. Can I tell you why there are folk jealous of you today? Because you're somebody. Can I tell you why folk are mad at you today? Because you're somebody. There are folk jealous of you because they know you going places. There are folk jealous of you because the way you walk, baby, you walk like you're somebody. You smell like you're somebody. And you ain't even put no perfume in no cologne. No. Can I get a witness here? When you walk with your heels, baby. It really don't matter what color they are on them. You still somebody. And you really don't have to have pantyhose on to be somebody. You are somebody. Because when you got up in the morning, baby, you looked in the mirror at yourself and said, I'm somebody. And you still had rollers in your hair. Oh, baby, that's how anointed you are. God help me. Listen, I got to hurry up, I got to hurry up, I got to go. When I look here at the text here, and I begin to look at the saying here that they were jealous of Jesus Christ, because anytime you ain't doing nothing, folk don't get jealous of you. Anytime that you're without a job and you need money, folk don't talk about you. But the minute you go to doing well, you hear your name being called, and you ain't even there talking about how good you think you are. You think you somebody. Why get mad at me now? When I didn't have no money, you didn't talk about me. But now that the Lord gave me a few pieces of change, you want to try to scandalize my name. But I come by today to tell you that an impossible situation can be handled by God's possibility. Watch this. When I go farther in the text, the Bible says that they came to Jesus, and when they came to Jesus, one said that I brought my son to your disciples, and your disciples could not get rid of the situation he was in. Watch this. The text says that it's a dumb spirit. God help me, somebody. He says here that the dumb spirit will take my child and have my child wallowing on the ground, foam coming out of my child's mouth, and have my child gnashing at his teeth and grinding them and cutting up himself. And I brought him to your disciples. Can I get a witness here? Watch this. He said, but your disciples can get rid of this dumb spirit. spirit. God, help me. I watch this thing. I got to go here. I said, now, wait a minute. Anytime you're not humble, now, anytime you're not spiritual minded, God, you know where I'm going. Now, anytime you're not calm with it, God, help me. Anytime you don't talk to people rationally, every time something happens, you got to cuss folk out. Anytime you go to fighting and acting up, not just at your own house, but at God's house, there's a dumb spirit in the atmosphere. God, help me, somebody. Can I tell you something? You can't fight with folk all the time. Sometimes you got to sit down and be still. Why you gonna waste your time trying to fight somebody with a dumb spirit? Can I get a witness here? Because when I look at the text tells me that the dumb spirit had control over the young man. Watch this. Jesus Christ brings him here and he said, how long have he had this spirit? Watch this. There are two things that I want you to understand this thing. Number one, he calls Jesus master. Watch this thing. Master means teacher, the head educator of everything. See, when he came to Jesus, he called him master, but he had an impossible situation. Number two here is that he said that he's been in this condition ever since he was a child. Watch this. God wanted him to let everybody know that the situation he had for a long time, because God wants us to understand that there are some problems that we've had ever since we was a child, and Christ wanted to make sure that when he does what he does, that nobody else would get the glory out of it. Watch this. He said, number one, you call him master. Well, at the time, he didn't need a master. At the time, he needed an Elohim. At the time, he needed a God. He needed a creator and giver of life. He needed a healing and a deliverer. He needed a God that's got all power in the palms of his hands. Can I get a witness here? He called him master, but what he needed was a God. So what God did is he asked him, how long you had your problem? He said, all of your life. Can I tell somebody here, you've had a problem all of your life. You've been acting funny all of your life. You had an attitude problem ever since you was in high school, and some says in junior high school. There are some things you have in your life you brought even in your marriage. Some things folk have and they up in age now, but I come by today to tell you it because you think you have an impossible situation and you've been carrying it all of your life. But Jesus wants you to know something. He talked to the man. He says, if you can have compassion on us, because what happens, two things, it throws my son in the fire, and it throws my son in the water. It tries to kill my son. Can I do something here? What the devil try to make you think, is that he want to kill you. But can I tell you something? He don't want to kill you yet. Because as long as he got one, and somebody hang around the ones, he'll get a hold to the other ones. As long as he got one mixed up, and you got a group of people with him, he gonna get everybody in the group. As long as you got one with a dumb spirit in them, every time they call you and start talking dumb, you start talking dumb with them. That's why the devil really ain't trying to kill you yet. He's trying to mess up everybody in your family, everybody that you connect with. He's trying to put his dumb spirit in them also. Is it anybody here heard of gossipers? Is it anybody here heard of troublemakers? Is it anybody here heard of folk that think ugly? Is it anybody here mess with your spirit sometimes? Can I tell you something? The devil couldn't kill him, because God was on the way to bless him. Can I tell you something? Everybody in here, the reason why you bless, because the Lord wants to bless you more. You don't deserve it. You don't pray enough. You don't read your Bible enough. But the Lord keeps on blessing you anyway. The reason why the Lord wants to use you. You know what the man said? He got to talking to Jesus. And Jesus said, if you only, all things are possible. If you only believe. Is it anybody here? No, the Lord will help you out. Is it anybody here just got a little faith to believe the Lord still can? Is it anybody else? Is it anybody in the church this morning that know the Lord can still pick you up? Is it anybody in here know the Lord can turn things around? Is it anybody in the Lord's house know God? He can, and God, he will. Can I tell you something? The man hollered out, Lord, I believe, but help my unbelief. I believe you are the Lord. I believe that you can. But every now and then, my faith get a little shady. Every now and then, my prayer get a little weak. But the Lord said, bring them to me. Is it anybody here want to take it to the Lord? Is it anybody want to take it to the Lord? Is it anybody ever took something to the Lord? Is it anybody ever went down on your knees? Is it anybody say yes? And the Lord brought the dumb spirit out of his body. The Bible said it left him dead. When a spirit leave you, it would then leave you dead. I'm going to my seat, but can I tell you something? Whenever a spirit leave you, it'll leave you dead. But Jesus took them by the hands. When the Lord gets rid of a spirit, he picks you up. He'll pick you up and put life in your bodies. Can I tell you something? Any man be in Christ is a new creature. Old things pass away, and behold, all things become brand new. I'm glad I had to die. I'm glad some old things died. I'm glad some old ways died. I'm glad my old attitude died. But early, he got up and he all right. Say yes.
With Mayor Constance, right at the point of being elected for the mayor, right there at the point, and she gets news about her baby having to have a major operation. The devil tried to mess with your mind. God help me. But then God came down and said, I got the operation. You just hold on to me. It looks impossible now. But I give you the mayorship and then I'll bring your child up. Didn't the Lord do it? Is it anybody here? The Lord will. The possibility of an impossible situation, God can fix it. And God can turn it around. I just need some believers to believe that. Oh, he's gonna fix it. I know you got some stress, but he's able. I need you to believe he's an able God. No matter how bad the situation, God is able. Keep praying for your spouse. Oh, they're gonna come back. Looks impossible, but baby, he said, with faith, all things. Not just one thing, not just some things, but he said, all things. And as I get ready to go to my seat, when I'm dealing with things that comes wrong in your life, I go to the Word of God. You know what it says? I know you're struggling. I know it's a bad situation. He says, but all things work together. God help me. I'm getting ready to go now. I'm getting ready to go. Can I tell you something? All things, good and bad, work together. Oh, y'all don't hear me. Y'all don't hear me. For the good. Oh, y'all don't hear me. God take bad and good to work together for the good. God help me somebody. Can I tell you something? You've already got the victory. For them that love the Lord. God help me. If you love God, he said, I'll take the bad and I'll take the good, the struggle, the storms. He said, I'll put the storm with you and I'll work it, work together. I'll mix it together because while you're going through the storms, you can see some good while going in the storms. Storms make you stronger. Storm make your mind think. Tell you to hold on, God. Gonna turn it around. all things work together for the good for those who love the Lord. Come on, give God some praises. I'm ready now. The doors of the church is open. The doors of the church is open. Somebody here that wants to come back to the Lord. Somebody's looking for a church home. Somebody in here right now. Can I tell you that you're not promised for tomorrow? Today is the day to get to know him.
Don't give up.
Can I tell you to come home right now?
Don't you worry.
You can come on your Christian experience.
You don't have to cry.
Candidate for water baptizing.
Cause he sees.
Will you come? Come on, the doors of the church is open.
He sees what you're going through. Oh, yes, he does. God is willing and he is able. This does not catch him by surprise.
The doors of the church is open. Will you come?
So just
there's somebody
trust
in here right now.
And
the doors of the church is open.
Step aside.
Will you come?
Be still and don't question him. These obstacles, they are allowed. He wants to take you higher and higher if you just hold on. Well, my God is willing. Lord is able. This does not catch you by surprise. So just trust him. And you step aside. The potter saw a vessel.
We make our last appeal for you. There's one in here right now.
That had been broken.
Will you come?
By the wind.
God is speaking to you.
And the rain.
This is your opportunity to get into a church where you can get the word of God.
But it's so.
Will you come? The doors of the church is open.
With so much.
The doors of the church is open.